prayers. I'm guilty of this myself, so I'm sure that you have been guilty at times. Many times we pray for others. You know what I mean? Lord, change my son, change my daughter, change my mother or father. Lord, change my boss. You know, we pray for other people, but we don't take the time to pray for who? Ourselves. We're kind of like this Pharisee, you know, we're praying for others. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like them. Thank you that I'm not like this person over here. This man never took the opportunity to take a look into his own heart and to realize his need for God. Well, here's the other person, the publican. In verse 13, the publican, standing afar off, would not even lift so much as his eyes unto heaven. But he smote himself in his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a what? A sinner. This publican didn't even take the opportunity to really evaluate everything. He knew in his heart that he was a what? A sinner. He didn't even look up into heaven. He just simply said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus goes on to say concerning this publican, looking at the Pharisee and the publican, he says, I tell you, this man went down to his house what? Justified rather than the other. For every one that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be what? Exalted. Well, Jesus made a point to point out that the Pharisee is not the type of person you want to be. When it comes to prayer, the simple prayers in our life are simply, Lord, be merciful to me, I am a sinner. We may not be able to evaluate our whole life. We may not be able to look back over the week, or we may not be able to look back over the last 24 hours and take into account every sin or every crime that I committed against God, but we can simply come to God just as we are, saying, God, I am a sinner. That was a pretty simple prayer, wasn't it? The man taken to heart looked into his own life and realized that he wasn't like God, for he was a sinner. Well, that's a pretty simple prayer, isn't it? Lord, I'm a sinner, and God accounted him worthy enough to say that he was justified by confessing his sinfulness. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, all of us in this room, every one of us have come short to the glory of God. All of us have a sinful nature, a sinful likeness. But the good hope, the good promise to all of us today is 1 John 1:9. The Bible says, if we confess our what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just and he is what? He is just and able to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So really what God is saying is that it doesn't matter what you have done in your life, whether it be murder or extortion according to this verse, whatever it be, God can forgive you of your sins. That's pretty good news, isn't it? Amen. That's pretty simple prayer, isn't it? Lord, I am a sinner. Well, I think that as we look at this one man, the publican, I would rather be the publican any day than the Pharisee. To confess my need for God that I am a sinner. So one of the first simple prayers that I found in Scripture was just simply saying, Lord, I am a sinner. The second one that I want to look at is found in Matthew 14. I would like you to turn with me or turn back to Matthew 14, verses 29 through 31. Matthew 14, 29 through 31. Matthew 14, verse 29 through 31. Now, many of you are familiar with this story. As the disciples were out on the lake or out on the sea, Jesus came walking out on the sea. And you know the story that as they looked out, they said, man, it must be a ghost. And Jesus finally simply said to them, he says, it's not a ghost, it is I. And you know Peter, how he is, as he looks and surveys this. And it is the Lord, it's Jesus. And you know Peter, you know, he sticks his foot in his mouth all the time. He says, Lord, If it's really you, Lord, command me to come out there. And this is where we picked up the story in verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wow, I must have felt pretty good, right? You know, the Lord calls you in your life. You go out there and you step foot on the water and by, wow, you're walking on water. Must be pretty amazing for Peter. How many of you have ever walked on water before? Yeah. You have, really? The closest that I've ever come to walking on water was water skiing, but As soon as that ski tip catches in the water, and that water's pretty hard. Walking on water. Well, Peter must have been filled with much joy. Wow, look at me. I'm walking on water. I think I would be pretty ecstatic as well, walking on water. But as the Bible goes on in verse 30, it says, When Peter saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And he beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, what? Save me. You know, at times we could be lifted up and, man, the Lord is just really working in our lives, really excited. And yet, when the wind comes and the noise begins to come, the waves start to crowd in on us, we begin to cry out, Lord, save me. What is it about Peter that he seems to be so confident when a little bit of wind, a little bit of waves come his way, he begins to be afraid? Are we like this as Christians? You know, we pray, Lord, help me to be more like you. Lord, change me, transform my life, make me more like you. And all of a sudden, God sends a little bit of wind our way, a little bit of waves to help us change. And all of a sudden, we step back and say, wait a minute, God, this is just a little too much. I wasn't anticipating. Lord, stop. Be careful here. Instead of letting the waves of circumstance and trial come our way. Or is it in our lives that we cause the wind, we cause the wave, we may be prided so much to ourselves at times, but whatever the case, Peter begins to sink and he cries out, what? Lord, save me. What a simple prayer. In the time of need, Peter cries out and he says, Lord, save me. And the next verse, in verse 31, the Bible says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? The moment that Peter cried out, Lord, save me, what happened? Jesus stretched forth his hand. Friends, do you find yourself in a situation, a circumstance, that just may be too big for your life? Have you found some things in your life that are just too boisterous, too loud, too noisy, you don't want to face them, or whatever? Friends, we can cry to Jesus, and the Bible says, He will what? He will save us. Well, in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus. There is no way to salvation except through Christ. I can't save myself. You can't save me. I can't save you. The only way to salvation, the only way to eternal life, is by saying, Jesus, save me. I like this verse in Isaiah 59, verse 1. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. Isaiah 59, 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. The Lord is in heaven. I'm on earth. There's quite a distance of gap there. But when I cry to the Lord, save me, Jesus stretched forth his hand, and what Isaiah 59:1 is telling us is just the same. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot what? Hear. You know, the Bible is very clear that Jesus is aware, or God is aware of every little sparrow that falls out of the sky. Aren't you accounted more worthy than those little birds? Aren't you accounted more worthy than these little sparrows? Jesus went on to say, giving parables, he says, you know, a father loves his own son, you know. And if a son comes asking for his father for bread, will he give him a scorpion? Won't your heavenly Father give you more than what you ask, you know? What is it about us as Christians? You know, Lord, save me, and yet we have a tendency to doubt whether or not God is hearing. I believe that possibly this doubt is put in the way that God cannot help us. But we must be a believing, faithful people that when we cry out, Lord, save me, He will save us. Well, that's a pretty simple prayer, isn't it? The first one is, Lord, I'm a sinner. Second is, Lord, save me. It doesn't sound too much like that Pharisee, doesn't it? Does it? Lord, here am I. Look at what I'm doing. Simple prayers. Lord, save me. Lord, I am a sinner. Simple prayers that were answered very quickly. Well, let's look at the last one that I want to take a moment on. And that's found in John chapter 21, verse 17. John chapter 21 and verse 17. John 21, verse 17. Well, this is the story when Jesus came to meet the disciples, and they were, after he was resurrected, they were out fishing. They had been up all night, didn't catch anything. Peter comes along and Jesus comes along and cries out to them. Peter, recognizing this is Jesus, he quickly grabs his linen coat and jumps in the water, swims toward shore, and there he finds Jesus. And there Jesus was having a little barbecue, so to speak, of some fish on the fish fry. And as Peter came in and the disciples came in, they all gathered around. And he begins to talk to Peter publicly. He says, Peter, let's start with verse 15, just to start there. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I love thee. He said unto them, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he saith to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I love thee. He said, well, feed my sheep. In verse 17, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And unto him the third time, and he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. Well, Peter, it says here, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? You know, here Peter many times, you know, stuck his foot in his mouth. Here he walked on water. Here he saw the miracle of God. And if anybody loved Jesus, it was Peter. But we all know that Peter denied the Lord how many times? Three times. Peter again stuck his foot in his mouth many times, drawing the sword and being so upfront about everything. But yet when the time of trial came, Peter was not ready to stand for his Lord. So Jesus asked him this three times. Lord, or Peter, do you love me? And of course, Peter, being grieved in his heart, he says this, Lord, thou knowest all things. These are powerful words, and essentially what Peter is saying is, Lord, you know my heart. Jesus, you know my heart, is what Peter's saying. It's almost as if to say, Lord, you know I love you, but maybe, just maybe, there's something in the way to not share to you just how much I really do love you. I really believe that Peter's prayer to Jesus at this moment, a public prayer, was, Lord, you know my heart. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. It was here at this moment where Peter was completely converted because he really opened up the door of his heart to Jesus and allowed Jesus to step in to help Peter to love him as he needed to be loved. In other words, it's God that trains us or helps us to love him. Do you realize the Bible is very sure to tell us that we are separated from God. We are enemies with God. Our natural tendencies is not for the heavenly things, but for the earthly. It's only when the power of God comes in and steps in to change our hearts, then do we begin to love God. We don't naturally love God. The Bible tells us some very strong language. In Jeremiah 17:9, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Those are pretty strong words for the Christian today. Here's Jeremiah, a very powerful man of God, who testified to pagan religions, to pagan kings, and who testified to the glory of God. And Hebrews tells us in some sort that maybe he was the one who was sawed in half and for his faith. But he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, friends, we cannot manage our own affairs when it comes to the heart condition. You know when people finally, you know when people who have ever had a heart attack, you know when they realize, when it's usually they don't know they're having a heart attack until it's too late. And friends, that's sometimes with the condition of our heart. Many times we don't realize until it's too late. Only God himself can transform or change the heart. And here Peter finally gets to that point. Jesus finally draws Peter to that conclusion. Lord, you know my heart. A simple prayer, but yet so powerful. I wonder if by our vain repetitions at times, do we not allow Jesus to work in our heart? We pray so earnestly for our loved ones. Don't get me wrong. I think it's important to pray for our loved ones, but I really believe that our heart must be transformed before we can really make a difference in the lives of our loved ones. Well, moving on, Jeremiah 17, verse 10, just right after Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful, he says concerning the Lord, he says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. I, the Lord, try the reins. I know the heart. Jeremiah proposes a question to every one of us and says, who can know his own heart? Basically what he's saying is you can't. You can't decipher your own heart. You can't make decisions in your own heart that are even correct unless God is working in the heart. And God goes on to say, I'm the one that try the reins. Any of you ever rode a horse before? You hold on to those reins for what purpose? You know, to guide the horse, to lead the horse where you want him to go. You may have ridden a stubborn horse too that fights against those reins. What kind of a person are you? Are you the fighting horse, or are you the horse that is obedient to the master which rides upon the back? God says, I try the reins to give every man according to his ways. It's only with the power of Jesus holding the reins does he transform the life, or does he transform the heart. And of course, Ezekiel 36:26, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, says, Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. It is God, friends, who gives us the new heart. It is God that transforms our lives. So what are the three simple prayers today? One is, Lord, I am a what? What is it? That's right. Lord, I am a sinner. What is the other one? Lord, save me. And what's the last one? Lord, you know my heart. Not many words put into motion there when it comes to prayer, is it? The simple words of prayer, Lord, save me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, you know my heart. Those simple prayers are what transformed lives. You see, friends, we can't just come to church every week and expect miracles in our lives. We can't just go to Wednesday night or Thursday night prayer meeting and expect miracles in our lives. Just as we use the cell phones to stay and connect with our family members and our loved ones, the way we stay in connection with God is through prayer. It's prayer that draws us to Him, not God to us. And when we pray, we become more like Him. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. As we begin to close this, Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 5 through 8. Notice what the Bible says. And when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 6, but thou, when you pray, enter into your what? Your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall do what? Reward thee openly. Verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard by their much speaking. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you what? Before you ask. I wonder sometimes if we pray so much that we don't allow God to speak back to us. You know what I mean? We can pray so much that we don't allow God to speak to us. And I'm sure you all have your certain ways of praying. I'm not giving you any format in which you need to pray. But what I'm saying is today, I want to encourage us today as people at least to begin praying. And secondly, don't make it so difficult. Pray simple prayers. Lord, help me. Lord, change my heart. Lord, make me more like you. Because it's with these things can we go into the world and make a difference. Close yourself in and allow God to speak to you at times. Allow Him to minister to your needs. Allow Him to change your life. It's the power of God as we draw close to Him in prayer that makes me a better person. Right? We can't change ourselves, only God can. But friends, change only comes as we spend time with Him. And the only way we can spend time with Him, besides reading the Bible, is pray. It's one way in which we can draw close to Jesus. Have you experienced God this week? Have you experienced God today? Would you like to experience Him more? Then I want to challenge you to pray. Because prayer is really what transforms. Let's stand together and sing our closing hymn today. Number 499. What a friend we have in Jesus.